Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Taste Nature.
And welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, EcoAction facilitator and host of this show. Now, late last week, three Year 8 students and their teacher from Carisbrook School travelled to the Beehive in Wellington. With PowerPoint presentation in hand, their goal was to meet with the Environment Select Committee with the aim of convincing them to ban single-use plastic shopping bags in New Zealand. It's an awesome campaign for these students to take on. How were they received in Wellington? What has been the outcome? Why is banning better than a levy? And do they have any further plans? The teacher, Anne Ruxton, and her two students, Hannah McGill and Ramona Malate, are here with me in the studio to answer these questions and more. Welcome to the show, Anna, Hannah, and Ramon.
Hi.
Lovely to have you in the show. And it's Mahute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. My text was just a little bit too small for me to read. So tell me, I don't know who wants to answer this, but how did this idea arise?
About 3 years ago, we ran an elective at the school and students opted in. And the elective was to look at paper recycling and the paper process and the effect on the environment. And the students became really passionate and decided that they wanted to take some action, but they decided plastic was a bigger issue. And so they got Claire Curran involved.
Wow, okay. And then what happened?
So we started the Enviro group and we had some ideas about plastic and why we needed to get rid of it. So we started using signatures to try and get people aware and trying to get our statement out there.
Mm. So Claire was great because she came along and talked to us and told us about the best way to get our voices heard. So she was really awesome, and then we got some advice from the House of Representatives about how to do a petition. Mm-hmm. And then these girls went out and collected signatures.
We went to markets. We went to, like, the Thieves Alley Market, and we also hosted a rally in the Octagon. And it was pretty cold, so not many people turned up, but it was also advertised on the hits the day before. And we got a decent amount of people, and we got a few signatures, and we also went on to do some farmers markets mm-hmm. and get some more signatures there. And we also got some more Enviro schools like us to come and help us collect signatures from other places in New Zealand.
Mm. And did it take a long time to get all the signatures? So 5,000 in total.
Yeah, about a year and a half, some good time, so...
Yeah.
It took a while.
It took a while. And the farmer's market, I bet, was quite a good place, was it?
Yeah, quite good. And lots of people did
it. What kind of reactions did you get?
Lots of people were wondering, like, what are we going to use instead and how is this going to affect everything?
I mean, some of the people were just saying we were crazy, we should just go away. But, like, they eventually did sign. They're like, oh, well, better just sign this.
I bet there was a lot more people who thought what you were doing was a really good idea, though, didn't
you?
Yeah.
We had heaps of support from everybody.
Mm. So tell me, Hannah and Ramon, like, what's been your motivation? Maybe, like, Hannah first. Like, are you personally, like, why are you so passionate about getting rid of these plastic bags?
Well, at first I saw what was happening to the marine life and how, like, all these pictures of not just plastic bags, like plastic straws and everything else, it was harming the marine life. So I really wanted to try and help and stop this.
Mm, yeah. And was it similar for you, Ramon?
Yeah, but, like, a lot of it is about our future and, like, just seeing a lot of those birds being cut open just filled with all this plastic and then are unable to feed their babies, so they die eventually as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was of course, the marine life and how it's affecting all of the nature around us.
Mm. And I think, you know, that message, what you're both talking about, it's like people say, well, one extra plastic bag doesn't make any difference, but every little bit of plastic is actually, could be potentially killing an animal, couldn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. Lots of people have sort of said, why plastic bags, why not bottles, why not straws? And the students just decided they had to start somewhere.
Mm.
And that single-use plastic bags really are single-use. You know, they're really... And they're in everybody's hands every day.
Yeah, yeah. So you've had pretty good support in Dunedin. And what kind of other support has there been in Dunedin? Because I know that there's been some news on it on the about the supermarkets, hasn't there?
Yeah, well, Countdown, Countdown and New World, they have been phasing out all their plastic bags, and Countdown has also been advertising if you've got a worn-out reusable bag, you can bring it in and they'll replace it for free, give you a new one for free.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mitre 10?
Yeah, Mitre 10 has started to phase out plastic bags also. Mm. And we got a lot of support from, like, the Enviro schools around Dunedin and New Zealand and all the people who have been supporting us by signing, yeah.
Mm. And are there any places that you would recommend people to go in Dunedin where they can, you know, if they want to avoid plastic bags?
Yeah, there are a few places where they can either have plastic bags that are made by Bags for Good, who take fabric that would otherwise end up in the landfill, and they make bags and they give them away for free. But there are a couple of companies where you places where you can go that you don't need bags at all.
Yeah, there was something I also saw is that Kmart's also trying to get rid of their plastic bags, which, I mean, they've got, like, those massive ones, and everybody's always coming out of Kmart with all this stuff in the bags, and it's just like, bring your own bag.
Right. Oh, that's good. Anyway, I guess it's good to see change, you know, at all the different levels, even if people are starting quite low. And, yeah, and that Bags for Good, that's really great, because I guess every time, even if we bring a reusable bag, we need to be thinking about, you know, how has this been made as well? So if we can made it out of pre-loved material, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are going to be dropped off at Taste Nature, and so people can get them there, but they're going to phase them out to other places as well.
Yeah.
But Taste Nature, you can use paper bags, you don't have to, or your own jars, you don't have to have bags at all.
Mm. And so, back to the trip, so you all flew up together. There was three of you, isn't that right, who went up this time? But you've had other students go before, haven't you, Anne?
Yeah.
So last year when we presented the petition to Parliament, there were two students, Imogen Yates and Caitlin Petrie, and they were the leaders of the Enviro group, and they represented our group by taking the petition up and presenting it. And then when it went to the Select Committee, we were invited to go back up and speak to the Select Committee, and these two students went.
Right, yep. Right. And what was it like? Was it scary?
It was actually quite nerve-wracking. Like, as soon as we were about to go in, it just hit me that we were going to speak in Parliament. I was like, why am I not freaking out? Like, what is going on? But, like, as soon as we got there, it was, like, pretty chill. They were, like, pretty supportive, so.
They were pretty nice to us, and they did ask us a few questions that we were a bit like, about, but we eventually answered them.
Yeah, with, like, our notes off to the side and Miss Ruxton's help, so. But they did have, like, News Hub in there, like, filming us as well. And I was like, I didn't notice for a while, and I was like, oh, this is happening.
I noticed the whole time, and I was trying to look away.
That's great. Oh, that's so awesome. Imagine doing this. I think it's amazing. It's amazing. And so you say that you got a pretty positive reception.
Yeah.
And since then, there's been more movement, hasn't there? You know, so things are really happening. And I think you said that immediately after you guys presented, some other students presented, didn't they?
Yeah, they just wanted a levy of, like, 20 cents, I'm pretty sure. But I guess their reasoning was to, like, ease people into the process of banning plastic bags completely.
Mm. So why did you guys go for the complete ban? Like, why do you want the ban?
Well, I mean, our families, we stopped using plastic bags. We could do it so other people can. I mean, it's not that hard.
Mm. No, it's not. And I remember when I was little, we didn't have plastic bags. But so did you think, did you decide it was better than the levee? Why was that?
I think it was partly because I think there were two reasons. One was the change in culture and having to change people's behaviour. So we are very much a throwaway society, and we need to become a non-throwaway society. And the other reason is that overseas levies work in the short term, but they don't work in the long term. People become accustomed to paying the extra price and they just suck it up. And
I know. So I think this has happened in Ireland where they put the levy on it, and yes, and then it... The use has creeped up again. Yeah, not everybody, but yeah. So a ban with behaviour change. Now, one of the things that people say, oh, well, I need my plastic bag to line my rubbish bin. What kind of tips can you give for that?
You can use your newspaper from a couple of days before, just line that.
Or you can just go, like, bare and not have anything at all, giving it an occasional wash and don't put food scraps in there, because otherwise it will soak. But if you do, the newspaper will soak it up, but it's not that great anyway. Just put them in the compost and then it should like be better than just using a plastic bag.
So really this is also about leading us to go zero waste, isn't it? You know, getting our food scraps out of the landfill and thinking about what we're actually putting in that bin.
The other big one was dog poop.
yeah. But, like, at the start of this, so, like, we got this thing in the mail where I'm guessing that it was from either China or Japan, and they were going around mailboxes giving people free trials or something. And so it's basically just a paper bag, yeah, and with these harder handles that you use to use a scooping motion over the dog poop and fold it into itself, so you can just throw it out instead of using.
And it's got little handles.
Yeah, it's got handles, so you can carry it more conveniently.
Yeah, it's clever, isn't it? It's clever. So yeah, so there are alternatives, and it'd be great to see them in New Zealand. And even just, you could have a paper bag inside a plastic bag. You could do it and then just throw out the paper, but keep the plastic.
Yeah.
If we are, as you say, if we change the ban it, then people will change their behaviour. But it's good to give people lots of tips.
Anyway. We lasted a long time before plastic bags, but people managed to deal with these issues.
Right, that's right. So have you got any plans of what things you'll do next? Or
yeah, we'd like to try and go and to the local council and see if we can make a difference locally, even if it doesn't come in nationwide. That's our preference, but that may take some time, and in the meantime we might see what we can do in Dunedin and other cities in New Zealand. And in the States there's not a national ban, but there are cities and states that have done their own thing, so we could lead the way. Yeah. So that's one of our things.
And I guess part of it for you guys is doing research, is it? And seeing what's going on in other cities and places in the world. Yeah.
And education. Definitely.
Yeah, educating people, and not even just people in schools, like as the adults who have grown accustomed to the plastic bags and everything, just educating everyone.
A lot of people were just, when we were getting our signatures for the petition, they're just asking questions like, I mean, why is this bad? What is this doing? Because they didn't even realise what's happening.
Wow, it's amazing, isn't it? Because it seems like we're kind of in the loop and we know all these things are happening, but yeah.
But it's much more in the spotlight now than it used to be when we started. It was.
I think one of the big things that's very visual that's in the spotlight at the moment is these plastic gyres. And, you know, do any of you want to talk about that? You know, in the ocean, have you seen those on the internet? You know, I'm talking about the garbage patch.
Yeah, the Pacific garbage patch. All the currents just pull the rubbish in. It's a massive pile of all our, especially smaller plastics. Like, I know we've already banned microbeads and stuff like that, but some of these plastics you can't even see. And it's even little tiny fractions of plastic bags. Like, we believe that they never decompose. They just break into tiny pieces so small you can't see them with your human eye.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, because science has said that it takes like 1,000 years, but they have nothing to prove that because they've only been around so long of a time. And all the thing is, I've heard that the Great Pacific Garbage Patch is somewhat something like 3 times bigger than New Zealand, so it's getting quite big.
And it's only one of five in the world. So
it's just showing that concentration of plastic that's now in the ocean.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I don't know if you've done research on this, have you looked into, you know, the qualities of plastic once it gets very small, how it sucks in chemicals?
Yeah. So all the pollutions that are in the water,
Yeah, definitely.
In landfills, when you've got your plastic bags, the chemicals will leach down and they'll eventually get into our groundwater, which will runs into rivers, lakes, and eventually our oceans. So basically we've got chemicals from plastic just running through our water.
And then the plastics that are in there are soaking up all of those extra chemicals when the sea fish and eventually the mammals eat them, they're building up these toxins. And these toxins don't get excreted, so they stay in these animals and affect them in lots and lots of different ways, including fertility. Which is, you know, huge.
Yeah. So this is a fantastic campaign. So I think the momentum is there, and I really hope that we are heading that direction. You know, we've got some of the supermarkets, as you say, heading us in that direction, and maybe the government will start
taking a stand.
Yes, hopefully. And if, you know, let's say in, you know, a few years' time we have an end to plastic bags, what would be next on your list, your to-do list?
Probably take on, like, other plastics, as in, like, plastic straws or plastic bottles. Anything with that still can affect it, not just plastic bags.
Yeah, like France, those single-use things, is that right?
Yeah.
France is, I'm pretty sure France just started off plastic bags, and now they've banned all plastic cutlery, straws, cups, plates, everything like that.
And there are so many alternatives available that it's just not necessary.
Yeah. So this is all those parties where people are bringing, you know, their little plastic cups, or all the dentists and all the waiting rooms that we go into, and you see the little dispensers for water and there's little plastic cups, you know, that's end of that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's France leading the way. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess that could be part of your big vision, is it? To see an end to all the plastic.
That's the change of behaviour, the change of culture that we think are really important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
To stop being a throwaway culture.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else in your bags? Like, you know, like, I guess at school you've got reusable cutlery and everything there, don't you?
The school is working on a purchasing policy, but we don't actually have one in place yet. But we try to be aware, and if they do use plastic, we don't throw it out, we reuse it. But we're still working on it. It is hard to get people to change, especially when cost is a factor.
And I think, you know, children are quite quick to learn new things. It's maybe going home and changing the parents.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you've got supportive parents, is that right? You know.
Yeah, definitely. Even before I was in the Enviro group, we wouldn't use plastic bags. We started phasing into using fabric bags and things like that. But now we don't use plastic bags for our bins anymore. We either line them with newspaper or just go bare.
That's great.
Yeah, my family was only doing small things, but like when I joined the Enviro group and started getting more involved, we started using our reusable bags, and we've always had our big compost bin. We use that to grow obviously new vegetables and stuff.
Yeah, that's so awesome. It's so great to have you guys on the show. It's so inspiring to me. That's really great. So, well, look, all the very best with this campaign and with all your future campaigns. I think you're going to have lots of good, successful campaigns. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Right, thank you. And thank you for listening. This is Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, host of this show. And my guests today were Anne Ruxton, Hannah and Ramona from Carisbrook School. Now, I'll just give a little advert for this jazz at the Savoy. OAR-FM. Dunedin is delighted to present Jazz at the Savoy, a celebration of great jazz music featuring our own Dunedin City Jazz Orchestra. And OAR-FM's Gentlemen of Jazz will be your hosts. We've got Calder Prescott, host of My Kind of Jazz, is this orchestra's musical director. And Lou McConnell, host of Jazz Cafe, will be your MC. So put a ring around the date, Saturday, 16th of June at 2 p.m. at the Savoy. Tickets are $25, which includes the show, plus tea or coffee and a deliciously made fresh scone. Available from OAR-FM reception at Dunedin Community House, 301 Moray Place, or give the station a call on 471-6161 for details. So thank you again for listening. Eco Living in Action is supported by Taste Nature.
Taste Nature is Dunedin's organic food shop and eatery at 131 High Street. Open 7 days, Taste Nature carries a wide range of certified organic primary produce and a selection of whole foods available in bulk. The eatery features seasonal organic fare made from scratch with the freshest ingredients in store. And now available, a seasonal produce box or personalised order delivered in the Dunedin area in their fully electric van. Taste Nature, online at tastenature.co.nz. And proud to be part of the Dunedin Organic Food Network.
And pokes. It's then that you'll see the chips and the sawdust fly.
Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the Milky Boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. In the mill, on the line and in the yard, to
to keep them dime locks rolling down. Keep them locks rolling, boys, down to the mill, me boys. Keep them locks rolling down. For we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. Keep them locks rolling, boys, down to the mill, me boys. Crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. We'll pave all the streets of London town.